Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. There are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. Good morning and welcome back. It's the Faith Radio Network. Have we lost sight of our founding fathers' vision for liberty and justice in America? And how can we reclaim the values that our founders fought and died for? Best-selling author and radio host Eric Metaxas has written a new book asking those questions. The title is If You Can Keep It, The Forgotten Promise of American Liberty. You hear Eric on the Breakpoint Commentary here on Faith Radio, and he joins us now from New York City. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me. Thrilled to get to talk about this subject, which I am very passionate about, as you can guess.
I know. You said you were kind of exploding over this issue, which I'm excited to hear.
I'm exploding with passion on this. It's actually true. I feel like this is really about people. I mean, it's two things. First of all, the title of the book is If You Can Keep It. If You Can Keep It refers to Benjamin Franklin when he was leaving the Constitutional Convention. They had just created this government, and a woman said to him, Dr. Franklin, what have you given us, a monarchy or a republic? And he said, a republic, madam, if you can keep it. And that is a reminder that the republic, what we have, this fragile treasure of ordered liberty, it's not supposed to work unless the people are keeping it, unless we get it. And so this book is my attempt to get average people, like everybody. This is not an intellectual exercise. This is every American to get excited about America, to get excited about what we have, which is just freakishly special. I think we have lost sight of what an absolute anomaly what we have is, and how we've spread our freedoms around the world. We kind of act like, well, it's really no big deal. This is just the way things are today. It is incredibly fragile. And my argument is that we are losing it. We're on the verge of losing it within a few years. It's that bad. We have forgotten to teach these things for 40 years, and we are at a point where if we do not get this now, I would argue it is game over for America. And if that sounds draconian, read the book, and I don't think you'll think it's draconian. I think you'll think it's exactly where we are.
Well, you make a case for the fact that our country needs to do a major 180. You believe so strongly, Eric, that if America ever ceases to be good, we will cease to be great. And I'm wondering, have we lost our moral compass as a nation, as some claim, or is it that we simply don't hear about the good people and the good leaders in this country through the mainstream media?
Well, both are the same. In other words, the answer, first of all, is yes, we have lost our moral compass. I could give many reasons and many details. But it also is that the people in the media, in the mainstream media, what I would call the cultural elites, the people in the boardrooms at CBS, the people at the New York Times, the people who give us this information, whether it's people in movie studios or in news organizations, as I just said, they are part of a group that is dramatically out of touch with what I say in this book. And so they have been participating in keeping this view of America. It's not a conspiracy. It's just ignorance. They are not interested. They don't know this stuff, and they've got some other ideas. And so basically, your average American, which means me and you and most people listening right now, have not learned this stuff the way previous generations have. In 1940, you'd see a movie like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, one of the most heavenly patriotic movies ever made, one of the best movies ever made in history by the great genius Frank Capra. It is not corny, but it celebrates America in a way that every American would be moved by, would be inspired by. I think that's the main thing, is you get inspired about what this country is and the ideals of this country. My argument is that in the last 40 years, really since the 60s, we have not been teaching this. We've not been communicating it in the media. So this has filtered down to your average American, to me, to you, to people listening right now, that we have lost sight of the great heroes that have sacrificed everything so we could have what we have. And then I would say the great privilege that we have in being the stewards of this great nation. I say that we're the nation for others, that we exist for the whole world. Why do we have the Statue of Liberty, facing outward with this torch? We're to be a beacon of liberty to the whole world, not just for ourselves. And I really think that that idea has been lost. I would blame the current administration, frankly, for actively working against that idea. But even before President Obama, we've had decades of not teaching this in the public schools, definitely not teaching it in colleges. We've lost a view of what an extraordinary gift this country is to us and to the whole world. And so in the book, I try to get us inspired about it again. And I tell you, all you have to do is read the stories and you think, how have I missed this? This is amazing. So it's my hope to kind of start a movement of people talking about these things again.
Now, the founders believed passionately in the importance of virtue and honor and dignity and duty. And yet, for many Americans, those concepts really are out of sight, out of mind. How did we lose those values as a nation, or at least the importance of those values? And when did it happen? Was it the 1960s, or did it happen even before that?
Well, I think that it depends how far back you want to look. It basically took hold in the 60s, but it started before that. It started, you could look back to the 20s, where the cultural elites, people at my alma mater, Yale, already had a jaundiced view of America. They had a jaundiced view of faith. They kind of sneered at the idea of faith and looked at honor and duty and those kinds of things as old-fashioned. World War I had sort of wrecked everything, and we're not going to look to be, dying for our country anymore. That really took hold in Europe, but in this country it took hold among the cultural elites. And I've got a piece that I'm working on for National Review where I get into this. It really didn't fit into the book, but it's important to see that something happened where we lost this view. It started in the universities, but it trickled down into the mainstream in the 60s and the 70s, and now we've all pretty much lost it. And this is really serious, I have to say. This is not just some idea that I have. I mean, I think that if you want to know where we are at the edge of a cliff. We have forgotten things that we cannot forget. They're too good to forget. They're too important to forget. And if you want to know why we're teetering on the brink of chaos in any number of ways, certainly when it comes to, finances, to be $19 trillion in debt, how did that happen? Well, it all comes from this, unfortunately.
Now, let's talk about the concept of American exceptionalism. What does that term really mean in the context of the founders' beliefs about the New Republic and their understanding of Scripture?
Well, that's exactly what I get into in the book, because I say that we've had a misunderstanding about American exceptionalism. American exceptionalism does not mean we are better than other countries. No, it means that the ideas that were given to us by the founders are better than any ideas in history for government, and that we have been given those ideas to share with the world, not to keep for ourselves. So in other words, it's like what we've been given is meant to be shared. We want to take these ideas. We want to be a shining city on a hill, that we are thriving so much that the rest of the world says whatever they have, we want it. That has been from 1630, from before the founding. You had John Winthrop aboard the Arbella going to found the Massachusetts Bay Colony. He had a fundamentally Christian vision of we want to be a shining city on a hill. That was picked up by many presidents up until Reagan, where they understood that American exceptionalism means that we want to shine not so we can admire our own brightness, but so we can shine so the rest of the world can say, we want those freedoms. How can we have a free market? How can we have all of the good things that have blessed America? It's a fundamental idea that we're blessed to be a blessing. And so American exceptionalism isn't we're better. It's that we've been given these gifts by God. We don't deserve them. And we're to use them not just for ourselves, but to show the whole world the way forward. That is not a nationalistic, jingoistic, chest-beating, we're better, you're not. It's kind of a humble idea that we've been given these gifts, but it's to share with the whole world. So it's a different kind of understanding of American exceptionalism, and we've lost view of that. Some conservatives have lost view of it, and some liberals have lost view of it.
We're talking to Eric Metaxas, best-selling author. His new book is called If You Can Keep It, The Forgotten Promise of American Liberty. We'll take a quick break and be right back on the Faith Radio Network.
Pass on some hope. Tell a friend about Faith 90.7 and AM 900.
Welcome back. It's Bill Meyer. My guest is Eric Metaxas. His brand new book is called If You Can Keep It, The Forgotten Promise of American Liberty. Eric, when our founders drafted the Constitution, they knew that religious faith was essential in order to make the experiment of ordered liberty successful. I'm wondering, how can those who want to eliminate all vestiges of faith and Christianity from the public square completely ignore that essential principle?
Well, I wrote this book so that some people in the cultural elites, some people who are secular, some people who are liberal, would read it and get it. Because this is not only for people who think the way I do. I mean, I'm a conservative Christian, but these ideas were given to us by all of the founders, including the ones that we think of as secular. Jefferson and Franklin are at the very heart of this book. They're at the very heart of these ideas. If they saw that virtue was at the center of the success of this republic, if they saw virtue and faith as the key to self-government, then how can we say that, well, we've moved past that? You cannot move past it. 1 + 1 = 2. You can't change it. The founders, all of them, every one of them, Franklin and Jefferson, all the way up to John Adams and Sam Adams, they all understood that without virtue, you cannot have true self-government and true liberty. The fact that we're not teaching that in schools, the fact that some people have lost sight of that, is just crazy. It doesn't mean you need to think the way I think, but these are the basics. This is the stuff that all the founders said, it doesn't work. I mean, just to explain how simple it is, right? Self-government means we're going to govern ourselves. Okay, why are we going to govern ourselves? Why, for the first time in the history of the world, did the founders think that a group of people could govern themselves? What made it possible for us to do that in 1776? Well, the founders said what makes it possible, among other things, but at the core, is virtue. If you're a good person and you know that I want to do what is right, you say, I'm not going to not steal because the government has a gun on me. I'm not going to steal because I know it's wrong, because I want to glorify God with my life. I want to be a good person. The founders understood that when you have a population of people basically on that page, they can govern themselves. If they have the right government to help them to do that, they are prepared to govern themselves. They're prepared to be free. It's a great responsibility. It's a duty, but they're going to live up to it because they're people of faith. Now, if all the founders understood this link between virtue and faith, so much so that many of them, and I quote them in the book, they wrote about it. They said it. It was clear as a bell to them that you cannot have American liberty without virtue, and that you cannot have any virtue without people of faith. That virtue doesn't just arise, it has to have some kind of faith, at least most of the time. And then they went a step further, and they said, and by the way, you can't have faith without freedom. So it's a triangle, right? You can't have freedom without virtue, you can't have virtue without faith, and you can't have faith without freedom, because real faith is not coerced. So if the government says you've got to go to that church or you cannot go to that church, when the government is coercing your beliefs, they are not free and they're not real and they're not true. The founders understood that faith had to be free, and at the core of all the liberties, we had to have religious liberty. Without that, the whole thing doesn't work. So this is what my friend Oz Guinness calls the golden triangle of freedom. And there's a chapter in my book, it's probably the most important chapter, talking about the founders' view of the golden triangle of freedom, how you have to have virtue and faith in order to have liberty, and you have to have liberty in order to have virtue and faith.
So today we have postmodern thinkers who would say we can't discover what virtue is. It's socially constructed. It's different for you than it is for me. It's different for one culture than it is for our culture.
Right.
How do we talk to someone who doesn't believe in a source outside of ourselves, outside of human beings, for what is good and right and noble and pure?
Well, there's a number of options. First of all, I think you laugh at them because it's so patently ridiculous that it's genuinely not worth a response. There's some people where when you get in arguments about this, you're casting pearls before swine. It's just silly. It's manifestly clear that unless people understand that I have to do right to make this government work. I mean, as I say, all the founders understood this, and they weren't all Bible thumpers. They just understood that self-government means self-government. It means the people will govern themselves. Why will they do that? Because they know the difference between right and wrong. They don't need the government to tell them the difference. They already know themselves, and they're going to live out that faith, even if they're not people who go to church, that they buy into this larger idea of right and wrong. And, you know, if you try to commit a crime, they're going to tell you right away, the government's going to say that you can't do that. So we clearly have a view of right and wrong. It's just that it has to go beyond what the government says, and it has to be where the people are coming from. But I guess I say all that to really say most people in America are not going to be the crazy ideologues who are going to argue about this. Most people, if you've raised kids, you understand that to say, well, who's to say what's right and wrong is absurd. Anybody who has to live their life, has to work for a living, understands this. You do not need to give them some Baroque philosophical explanation. And what I'm saying is that we, the people, need to step up. If we don't govern ourselves, if we don't basically get these ideas ourselves and do what we need to do, we will be governed from above. We will no longer have self-government. We will no longer have liberty. We will be governed from above. And it's already happening. It is happening now. As we pull back in terms of governing ourselves, the government more and more and more will step in, and it's happening. And it's a gruesome thing to watch the greatest country in the history of the world suddenly eroding its liberties. The things that have been this gift from God, which have made us the greatest, freest country in the history of the world, these things are eroding rapidly. And if we have a president who elects Supreme Court justices who don't have this view, which will certainly happen if Hillary Clinton is elected, it's game over. You're going to have justices who are going to legislate from the bench, and they're going to say, we're not even going to allow you to govern yourself. We're not going to let the states decide. We are going to decide. So we are right at the edge of the cliff, and you can see that there are many pieces to this. So that's part of why I have an urgency about it.
So, Eric, what is your prescription? How can we return to the principles upon which we were founded?
Well, every author gets to say this once in an interview, and my short, stupid answer is, please buy my book. And if you can't buy it, borrow it and read it, because everything that I say in the book is a prescription for this. We've got to tell the story. First of all, we've got to re-educate ourselves on what is America? That basically is the core of what I say in the book. Who are we? What does it mean to be an American? If we don't know what that is, we cannot be Americans. And so I put all this in the book so you can give the book to an 18-year-old or to an 80-year-old, and they're going to say, okay, I get it now. I forgot some of this stuff. Maybe I never heard some of this stuff. But this is the guts of what it is to be an American. And I think when you get that, you will – it's self-explanatory. You will understand that I haven't been doing this. I haven't understood this. It really changes everything. And, I mean, I went to Yale University. I didn't understand this stuff at all. It was only because of God's grace and my friend Oz Guinness that I began really getting this, putting two and two together. And I got so excited, I said, I've got to write a book about this. This is, in my opinion, the most important thing right now for this country. So it's everything in the book. I tell the stories of heroes. We've forgotten how to venerate heroes like George Washington and Nathan Hale and Paul Revere, and to really celebrate who we are. Again, this is not saying we are wonderful. It's saying we've been given a great gift, and we've got to celebrate it. We've got to be patriotic, again, in the right way, not in the wrong way. But boy, we have forgotten to do it at all, and we are suffering. And so for me, this is a crusade. It's something that I clearly see as vital for this great nation.
Once again, the book is called If You Can Keep It, The Forgotten Promise of American Liberty. Eric Metaxas, thank you so much for your time today, and I pray that God continues to bless you in your wonderful work.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a privilege. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.